Week 8, if you weren't here last week, we only have one more week. So we had messed up and added an extra week, and then I was like, well, that may work out. Hurricanes keep taking weeks. And then we had the most blessed of hurricane seasons this year, and we did not need it. So praise God for that. We'll take that over destruction. So next week is our last week. So next week there are three verses left in Psalm 90. Some of you are chugging along. Some of you gave up long ago. Some of you are persevering. Good job. And so next week would be the last three verses of the psalm. How many of you have enjoyed the memorization challenge? Jill's like, yes. I know Julie does. We did it years ago together. Have you still been doing it all this time?
Mm-hmm. Refreshing.
Uh-huh. Yes. Good. Good. All right. And I was noticing that in tonight's verse, it was talking about that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days, which works in nicely with our psalms tonight. We'll be going through 103 and 104 tonight. Does anyone know, I know you've like done the work this week, but why Psalm 103 might be really familiar to our group? Yes. I went back and looked. It was like quite a while ago that he was out here. Pastor Darren Roberts, who's now in Katy, Texas, that's one of the sermons he preached here, and we reference it very frequently because he quotes Martin Lloyd-Jones saying, we need to stop listening to ourselves and preach truth to ourselves. So that is Psalm 103, and I was re-listening to it this week, and I literally laughed out loud several times, which is typical of Darren. So I recommend you listen to his sermon on Psalm 103. It's under media, under sermons, under non-series sermons, I think. And then he has his own line. It's like guest pastors, and he has his own line because he's preached like six times here. So,
what's his name?
Darren Roberts. And I don't think it's called Psalm 103, but I think it says something about truths we preach to ourselves. But yeah, so he goes into a little bit more detail than we are tonight. He went into like, he called it eagleology. Talking about how eagles molt and how we didn't need to talk about spiritual molting. But the idea is there. That was also in the things I read this week. But does anyone have any questions before we start?
Not Sue. A question, but I actually scanned it and have it on my...
Scan the sermon?
Where he had the handout, sermons to preach to.
Oh, yeah, we handed it out here one night. Once, yeah.
And it's soul, listen to me, you buried in hell, but you were rewarded with heaven. And he just goes through the different parts of Psalm 103.
Yes, so yep.
We could probably share that if anybody wants it. Sure.
Yeah, maybe you could pop it on the ladies thing.
Yeah.
The link. But you can also find it on the website and the app. That's my encouragement for that. But also, like, this psalm talks about awakening our soul. And so I want you to think for a moment, like, how do you wake up? And what would that look like if we were talking about it spiritually? So are you just like a rise and shiner and you're like, yay, it's the new day. Pop out of bed, get your coffee, whatever. So it's like, yeah, awakening my soul is like, great. It's fantastic. It's exciting. Or are you more like groggy? I'm really a night owl. I don't like awakening my body. And like if you translated that spiritually, so see where I'm going with that? How can we awaken our souls even if we're not a morning person? Type of idea. How do we energize our souls to be spiritually joyful and alert and ready in our praise and adoration of the Lord. Living by his word and knowing him is what will give us that energy for our awakening of our souls. All right, if you will open or turn in your books to page 110, that's where a copy of Psalm 103 is. And Bev, would you please read the first five verses for us tonight? And Julia, if you will read 6 to 18.
Sure.
These are kind of the groupings that we're going to talk about. And then Sue, if you will read 19 to 22. And we'll just read this psalm out loud before we dive into it.
Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them.
The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, right? Don't you just want to finish that line? We want to finish the scripture with a hymn. All right, so let's talk for a moment about the word bless. This is on the next page as we jump in. And the word bless carries the idea of praising and kneeling before. What does bless look like maybe when you think about your family? Or you're like, I want to bless this person with something. I want to bless this child with da-da-da. What comes to mind? This is a think about it question. You're not kneeling before your child, right? You're not necessarily, so that's more of a Godward posture. But what does it look in general if we use the word bless? Julia, what were you going to say?
Giving them something that they desire.
Uh-huh. Giving them something good that makes them...
Brings them joy.
Yes. Yep. So you're delighting someone else's heart, and there's love and gratitude that is involved. And so the same is true with God. We want to bring love and thankfulness and gratitude for all that he is and all that he does. And this psalm, I don't know if you noticed, when we do like the ACTS, A-C-T-S prayer, it's like adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. This psalm has zero of what the word supplication is, which is requests. I thought that was a really neat thing to notice, that there aren't requests in here. It is simply, bless the Lord, O my soul, and this is why. So such a special psalm for us to kneel before the Lord in that aspect of blessing and to praise him. So what else did you write about the subject or the theme here in question two besides those things we just mentioned? Did anyone bring in any other details that you mined out of the text? Okay. We had a great discussion next week. We're going to do that tonight. We're just warming up. But most of all, we're calling our hearts to bless the Lord, right? We're preaching to ourselves. And where do we kind of find David? Well, how do you feel we find him at the beginning of this psalm?
Thankful.
Okay. Anything else?
Thankful.
Any other thoughts?
What was that? What was
it? I said thankful.
Yeah, reminding himself, remembering.
Okay.
God does.
When do you most have to remind yourself or seek to be thankful? Sometimes when you're not, right? When you're in a trial. So we know that there were plenty of trial opportunities in David's life for him to write a psalm such as this. We don't know. There's nothing that indicates which season of his life he was in or what struggle may have been going on. Or maybe, you know, as they say, we're either going into a trial, in a trial, or coming out of a trial. Like, perhaps it's afterwards, or he's heading in and he's like, oh, here we go. I got to remember his benefits. So preaching to himself, and that's why we love the psalm so much, because we need to be reminded of that in the moments that we are tempted not to either thank him, or we're so distracted with our own little things that we're not remembering who our God is. Like any time we fear, right? Any single time you're fearful or anxious, we know that that's not of the Lord. So these are great times for us to remind ourselves to bless the Lord.
Sometimes it's when things are going good. It's just kind of thinking, like, I got this. Everything's going well. So I don't have to take that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, we think, oh, it's fine. Yeah, I love you, God, and thank you, and you're praising and happy, but also, like, remembering what he has done and being thankful for him. Just like you want your children to be thankful when you're doing something wonderful with them and for them. You want that to be true in your own heart at all times, but especially we tend to need to be reminded when things are challenging, when our heart might be tempted to not be thankful or not to remember his benefits. All right, so you were asked to circle the words all in this psalm, which the majority are at the beginning and at the end. What would be the opposite of all? Yep, so we've got God commanding us through the words of David here. It's not none, and it's not some, but it's all, which means, ladies?
All.
That's what we like to say. You know what the word all means? It means all. It means every single one. So, part D to question two, why is this word so important to the theme and purpose of this psalm? So why are we picking out the word all that means all?
Remember his promises and he keeps all his promises.
Why is it important the word all is there? What if there's exceptions to the rule? What if you're the exception to the rule? God forbid, right? He would not be perfect and complete and holy. His attributes would not be right if it was just like some. Now, he could be just to have exclusions, right? But none of us is excluded in the all of his benefits. He forgives all your iniquities, not some, not none. All. He heals all your diseases. Now, do we believe that that's literally true right now?
Well,
no.
We all die.
No, yes, we're not the health wealth gospel here. So how do we, like, you look at this verse, you're like, how do we deal with that?
You look at the commentary.
Did you glean something from the commentary, Sue? You can share with us.
No, I was just going to go there because I was like, it means future. And it's where we're going to be in eternity.
Right. And we talked about this years ago when we studied Proverbs. Proverbs are truisms. They are not exact. This is exactly what's going to happen every time for every person. We know the truth about God, that he is able to cure all diseases. But he may not choose to if it's for your good and his glory. But we do know that God also, the time that we live in, that we're constrained by, he is not constrained by. So you're like, I've had this disease for decades. Well, 1,000 years is as a day. A day is as 1,000 years. It's really just a fleck of time in the grand scheme of eternity that you would fight with any said disease. So it is a truth that he heals all our diseases. It doesn't mean he's just miraculously doing it all right now. Just important things to think about as you read and you realize why people believe certain things when they just jump in and pick that verse up out of the English and just run with it. Well, he's going to heal us. Well, yeah, but maybe not here and maybe not now. And you're not less of faith or a sinner because you're not healed. So just deep diving into understanding sometimes the word all and what these phrases look like. Again, are we in a, you know, like a didactic text here? And we're in poetry. So we also have to keep poetry in mind. That's why when we read Proverbs, we don't take them as commands. We don't see them as hard and fast rules because it's poetic language, often put in a rhyme so that the rhyme works. So anyway, just a little bonus. Jill's commentary.
Well, Jill, I have verses to back you up.
Thank you, okay.
If you look down, you know, on verse 15, it's what you said about time. As for mm-hmm. man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. The wind passes and he's gone.
Excellent,
so,
yes.
It kind of ties.
Yes, exactly, ties. So we think about the word all, and we're thankful for that because it means that you may not be the exclusion to receiving his benefits, or you get some, and you get some, and you get some, but they're not the same. So we know that it's consistent with his character that the word all is there. Number 4, in addition to the word all, one of the most beautiful aspects of Psalm 103 is its extensive list of God's benefits. And if you walk away with nothing else tonight, this is the one I'm hoping that you are marinating in this week. And again, like last week, we're just going to take our time and walk through this. It was very beneficial to a lot of us last week not to just try to cover everything. So if you weren't here last week and you're wondering, are we ever going to get to days 4 or 5? I don't know. We're going to see how the discussion time goes. But this is such a blessing to consider God's benefits. This is what we want to be preaching to ourselves at all times, and that is the character of God. How do we know that none of these benefits are earned or merited, but that all are free gifts of God's grace? What did you write down there for 4B, ladies? Now it's your turn to help make a rousing discussion.
I went to Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It's a gift of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's a truncated version of it.
Mm.
But God is the first mover. We love because he first loved us. And these are all his action.
The first mover. I like that. He moves first.
He moves first.
First play. That's right. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Anyone else?
What do we deserve? We're all sinners.
What do we deserve?
So we don't merit any of these benefits. And the other thing that stuck out to me was we couldn't accomplish any of these things ourselves. We can't heal ourselves. We can't redeem ourselves. We can't renew our youth. Only God can do all those things.
We sure try, though. Yes. Right. It says, forget not what he has done. And then it explains what he has done. So it's clear that it's not about us. In C it says, he seems to have sensed an inner tendency to forget God's benefits. So if the command is there, forget not, then it's likely that we forget. If you remember, the children of Israel were told to build memorial stones to remember. They had annual feasts to remember. Do any of you forget Christmas? No, because it happens every year. So they would have the Passover and the feasts that had different reasons to help them remember God's great work and his benefits. But we have this inner tendency as humans to forget God's benefits. It says to lack memory or attention, or to be oblivious of, or to ignore. What might be a warning sign that a heart is forgetting God's benefits?
Ungrateful.
You are ungrateful. How will we know How will I know if you are ungrateful?
Complaining.
Okay, so it mostly comes out our mouths. That's how other people can know. Unless you've gotten really good at managing your tongue, your heart can still be ungrateful. We know that's true. What else?
Discontentment.
Mm-hmm.
Unforgiveness.
Okay, so we are showing a lack of forgiveness to others means we're forgetting the benefit of him and how he's forgiven us. We're ungrateful, and our words are complaining and not full of thanks. What was the third one you said? I think it was the second one.
Complaining or not forgiving others or treat others with contempt.
Oh, discontent, you said. Yeah, you're generally unhappy and lacking joy. Maybe a reminder that you are not remembering God's benefits. Any other ideas? How would we see it?
Maybe a lack of faith.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We're only trusting in what we're seeing, and or more often, ladies, feeling. That's why we need to preach to ourselves. Primarily, it's our feeling warning flags that are flying. We need to not read the flags, but understand what they're stuck in, the bottom.
Apathy?
Mm. Apathy would be a sign. Mm-hmm. Yes, Sue?
I just, going back to what I said earlier, you rest in the comfort of things without thought that they're from God. And like it says in James, every good and perfect thing comes from above.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I got a lesson in that because you tend to get, well, I'll speak for myself, prideful of, you know, like what you can do, your health and those kind of things. And then the Lord just takes your feet out from under you and break a bone.
Or your arm.
You yeah. realize that, no, he's in control and he's the one who gives you any of those things.
Yes.
And he can take them away just as easy.
Uh-huh. So we have the reminder when things are good, what is our attitude? And then we have the when we're showing signs with our tongue, or when we know our inner heart attitude or feelings are discontent or ungrateful, we're lacking forgiveness for others. It might be seen in apathy. It might be seen in growing weary in doing good, or growing weary in the battle, knowing that the Christian life is a spiritual battle. It's also a race on the road, the path of life. You might be growing weary. You want to sit down on the trail. or it could even just be seen in disobedience. Like you're forgetting God's benefits. What he's done motivates us to obey as well. So it might be seen in disobedience. Why also, this is a let's think about it question. Why are our memories so leaky?
So leaky.
I forget.
You're talking like in the Word of God?
Just in general. Our memories about how good God is, or even your memory in general, you know, like why are our memories leaky? Kathy?
Sometimes life is difficult, and sometimes we just, I think, and that is by God's doing that life is difficult.
Yes.
We always are struggling with ourselves, with the, you know, external things, and I think it becomes easy to kind of like focus our attention on those difficulties and become bitter almost a little bit and not have your attention on the good. I mean, and whenever I'm discontent about something, there's probably 1,000 things I should be thankful for that I just decide not to think about.
Yeah. We get short-sighted. It's like the man who's, you know, short-sighted and blind. While you were talking, I was thinking about Ecclesiastes 3, and like there is a balance in life of, you know, the times of trials, the times of blessing, the times of, you know, when things are great and the times when things are super hard. And we're just thinking very temporally and not with an eternal mindset. That would definitely, an eternal mindset would help us be more, have a better memory for who God is. What else? Yeah.
Well, a lot of the time, we're not renewing our minds in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Lord put us through trials so that we could hold close to him. And he's always trying to use trials to so that we can grow our faith, so that we can persevere,
we can depend on him, and that causes us to go to his word to be reminded constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the Sarasota girls, we were talking about this in the car, it's like, we're going through these trials because we need to stay close to him. He's trying to, like, we're developing that muscle.
Yeah.
To praise him and to go to his word, no matter if it's good or bad.
Yeah. So we can lose our spiritual muscle, so to speak, but in times where it's just easy, we will be more prone to forget. Were you going to say something, Kathy?
Well, recently I've noticed that since I have zero for hormones, and I have been pointed out that that had a lot to do with my memory, and it works both ways. Sometimes it's good. You know, I forget the arguments. I forget some of the...
So quick to forgive these days.
It stays back there, but it's also hard to keep the current stuff in.
Mm.
So, but I'm noticing a slight improvement. So whether, I don't know what it is. I mean, it could be, but who knows?
Yeah.
But I'm definitely not kicking myself as much as I used to, thinking, come on. So.
Good. That's helpful. Yeah, and we've talked before, like, if we are preparing ourselves for the days that are challenging, mm-hmm. if we're filling the sponge, so to speak, so that when it's squeezed, the trust comes out, the remembrance of his benefits comes out, the not a lack of faith, but a heart of trust. Mm-hmm. So are we strengthening that spiritual muscle, putting what's needed inside so that the hard times mm-hmm. come, then we are remembering his benefits. There's two verses I wanted to look up tonight. So if someone, you can all turn or whoever wants to turn, but we're going to look at Deuteronomy 8, 12 to 14. Let's see. One of you can read it when you get there. Deuteronomy 8, 12 to 14. I actually started in 11.
Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, and your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end.
Hmm.
Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day.
So often we indict the children of Israel for their complaining and their struggle, and the Lord reminds us, when things are hard, when things are easy, you tend to forget about me. And you start to rely on your own strength about things. And so be careful. And he warned them then. And the same warning remains true, as we've been talking about tonight. Turn to 2 Chronicles 32. 2 Chronicles 32. And the verses... Double check. I think it's 25. 2 Chronicles 32:25 says, "But Hezekiah gave no return for the benefit," that's the key word here, "that he received because his heart was proud." So here's a negative example in Scripture. That's the only verse we're going to look at. A negative verse in Scripture about... another reason about why our memories can be leaky, that self-sufficient pride. We saw it in both of those verses there. So let's guard our hearts from, if we don't remember his benefits, because we never recognized they were from him to begin with.
Joe, what was that reference? I'm sorry.
Second Chronicles 32:25.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, and in D, when David sensed his forgetfulness at the beginning of this psalm, he spoke to himself, or we like to say he preached to himself. Do you need to do the same today, my friends? If so, what would you like to say to your own heart, and what would you like to say to the Lord? I was thinking about this in how we thank the Lord for our food before we eat it. If we were remembering his good deeds, we might thank him for it after we ate it. So we recognize that food that I just ate was a benefit from the Lord. This could be especially good, kind of wish I'd done it, when your children aren't thankful for the food that's provided, to teach them to thank God for his provision after they have had to eat it. So, little bonus for those of you that are still raising small children. All right, so that the words, they're starting to depart from me tonight. Summarizes day one. So now that we've wrapped up day one, I'd like you to turn to your next blank page, 120. And we have our chart for us tonight to how to stir up our hearts to bless the Lord. We just talked about the fact that we should. There are reasons why, his benefits. And then why we tend to forget to remember his benefits. So the title is Stirring Up Our Hearts to Bless the Lord, and there are two categories, the helps and the hindrances. So what do you think the number one help is going to be for you, even from what we've discussed, or even why we're even here tonight with what we're doing? What's the number one way that's going to help you stir up your heart to bless the Lord?
Go back to his word.
His word, that's right. Ding, ding. The scripture. And also, we read two extra scriptures. What were those showing us?
Remember his benefits.
Yes. But they were examples from scripture. So biblical examples are a help to us to remind ourselves to bless the Lord. And even we need to be saved. Right? Like, you're not going to think about the Lord and his benefits if you are not his child. So that doesn't mean you need to question yourself every other week. But if there is a continual problem, then one of them might be the need for salvation would be a help to stir up your heart to bless the Lord. And from these are hindrances we talked about, the tendency to forget or to ignore or to be oblivious, not pay attention. We don't want to be blind to the Lord's blessings. Let's sit down so this table can see better. All right, so we're going to briefly go through the first five verses of Psalm 103. I liked the way she did this lesson. Again, it was a slower pace like last week, which I felt was easier for us to get through. I just want to reread it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and soul, forget not all of his benefits. Who forgave all of my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction or the pit, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like eagles. I just took a moment to personalize it. When praising the Lord for his benefits, why is forgiveness a good place to begin, ladies? Top of page 112. Why is forgiveness a good place for to start, Christy?
Because it I don't know if I took this question right, but I thought of it this way as, like, when you receive the forgiveness of your sin is when you are declared righteous by God, and all the other benefits you would receive after you declare righteous,
uh-huh.
but you wouldn't receive all the other benefits if you were declared
correct.
Righteous.
Yeah. So forgiveness is the gospel, right? That is the point. That is the starting point. Did anyone have anything else?
There's the verse that says if you have anything against your brother, to go first
uh-huh.
to your brother, leave your gift at the altar. And we shouldn't have anything not only between us and God, but between us and our fellow believers.
Yeah, that is the goal. Thankfully, Romans 12 reminds us as far as it depends on you. You cannot control whether other people are going to receive that or give it. So just a good reminder, as far as it depends on you, you should be obeying what Sue just said. So this is the basis of us even receiving the benefits, as Christy said, and extending them with others. We already talked about the healing from diseases, so we'll skip over that one. But see, after forgiveness and healing, we read that God also redeems, crowns, satisfies, and renews. What do these benefits reveal about God? If God crowns you, he satisfies you, he renews you, he redeems you. Ladies, what is this telling us?
He loves us.
He loves us. What else?
He cares and he's compassionate.
Uh-huh.
He's a giver.
He's a giver.
I wrote, his promises are 100% better than any earthly warranty or
I love it.
And there's no fine print.
None of that really fast talking at the end of the commercial.
this is excluded.
We lack nothing.
Such a great thing to look at marriage and parenting through this lens. When we think about how we treat the members of our family, and how they should be treated even better than those outside of our home, and yet they tend to sometimes get the worst. But when we picture who God is to us and how he treats us while we were yet shaking our fists in his face, dead, he died for us. So as the women in our homes, in our families, or your friend group, depending on your situation in life, how are you helping satisfy and renew, redeem, and crowning others with good things in your marriage? How are you pouring those things out to your spouse, with your children? Are you just a tyrant? Or are you bringing life? You're seeing that actually the scripture does talk about rewards. I'm not withholding rewards, calling them, oh, I shouldn't do that. It's a bribe. No. The Lord isn't bribing you when he bestows all this kindness upon you, when he saved you while you were still an enemy of him. So the biblical model for us is gracious and lavish giving, even alongside truth and God's standard and principles for obedience and life. But it is about, there are rewards here. There is affirming. There is helping. There is building up. So how are we speaking life, so to speak, into those around us, especially those in our home, the center of where God has given us women purpose and plans for how to walk with him, showing our love for him in our actions towards those who sandpaper us the most? And how can we give a blessing instead when we are given evil? Also in Romans 12. So what an example our God is. These benefits that he gives us reveal his character. And then he says to us, ladies, be holy as I am holy. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ Jesus also forgives you. So also should you, Ephesians 4:32. Oh, that's so energizing. That gives me the energy in my little spiritual wings to seek to do good to those who are not doing good back. And a lot of times that is, could be your spouse. And the children, being children as they are not thinking about your best good. So you have to continue to do good and model godliness towards them in the way that you reward, affirm, build up, help them, give, and serve, just like God does for each one of us. And then in the psalm that commands you to remember it. And just like that, here's a little bonus point. Guess who teaches your children to be thankful for what you do or what your husband does? You have to teach them that too. Thank you, Mommy, for changing my diaper. Thank you, Mommy. You know, so you have to teach them to do that even. But that, the scripture here says, bless the Lord. And we can teach our children how to bless God and be thankful to his creation, the other people in their lives. So good. All right. Verses 6 through 10. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. This is why we don't use the word fair. Hell is fair. Fair is getting what we truly deserve eternally. So in this area, I don't want to spend a ton of time in this section, but we have the idea of a courtroom and what, you know, what is being defended and a judge who's judging. And our Lord gives perfect justice to the oppressed. But just as a note, I forgot to mention, in those first five verses, there David is doing like a personal praise to the Lord. And then we just jumped into more of a national praise to the Lord in this psalm. There's like the three sections I had the ladies read. So the personal praise to the Lord, and now we're in the section of national praise to the Lord. The last one will be universal, just as a little highlight there. So then moving on to verses 11 to 14. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. So as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities and shows compassion to his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. How does this say that the Lord loves his people? How big? As high as the heavens are above the earth. How far? East to the west. And like a father or a mother, like a parent, he has pity and compassion. So we would know that we are forgetting the infinite nature of the Lord's mercy and kindness if we are not modeling it. If we're harsh with others, we're forgetting how gracious God is towards us. What does it say? This is a think about it. In this section, what is it describing our job is? What is the to-do for us in this section? Do you see it? That's right. Yep. So we have a job listed in this section. Our job is to fear the Lord. Proverbs 1:7, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That is our job. And it says, when we fear him, so great is his mercy towards us. And also in verse 13, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Do you desire the Lord's compassion or when he has to be judge and jury with your sin? So then fear him. And you will receive the pity. So it says that what his work is that he is bestowing mercy. He's removing our sin. He's granting compassion and pity on us. He remembers that we are but dust. And there's this idea here, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. Or in some translations it says he knows our form. And so there's the idea here of almost the potter and the clay. Clay is just dirt and water, right? So imagine again back to, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's in Job where it talks about the potter. I could be wrong there. But it talks about the maker who says to the maker, why did you make me this way? And so he remembers that we are clay. And when you think of a handmade thing on a potter's wheel and the infinite care of the creator and the ridiculousness of the pot saying, why are you making me this? But also, if it's not fired just right, think of that. If it's not fired just right, it is more fragile and more breakable and useless. And he knows how delicate we are. And he takes that into account when he deals with us. Praise God. So thankful for that. Question 6. According to verse 14 there, he knows our frame and remembers that we are dust. What did you also write beyond the stuff that I just expounded upon? What are some of the words you use to say, what does this mean?
Weakness.
Dependent. Mm-hmm. Might picture an infant child. What else?
We came from nothing.
Yep, like the grass. We sprout up and are gone. From dust you were made, to dust you shall return.
Our bodies will fail us one day.
We're pretty much all sure of that. We have seen that testimony.
We're frail.
Yep. But we really think we're something, don't we? We really think we got this. I got this, God. Especially in the good times, right? Oh, look, my barns are overflowing, the verses said in Deuteronomy. I've got everything I need. I got these houses that I didn't even build. Life is good. I got this, God. And we forget that all of that is sustained by him. It's kind of funny to think of, you know, us thinking we've got it. And he's like, I just formed you out of this dirt. I just made you this little teacup. Very fragile and delicate. No, really. It was me, not you. I always think of that in Job. He talks about being a worm. And we've talked about it before. It's like a worm on the ground and you only have a certain perspective. I call it the worm's eye view. So really, we have ridiculous thoughts way down there on the ground, and God's up here like a eagle, right? And he's like, yeah, no. We need the eternal view, not the worm's eye view.
Like in Job where he says, like, where were you?
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's the worm's eye view. All right, verses 15 and 18. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who
hear,
and his righteousness to children's children. That's the idea of generations. To such as keep his covenant and to those who remember his commandments to do them. Again, there's that reminder of obedience. And in Christ, it says in the New Testament, we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Question 7. This section contrasts the brevity of life with the everlasting mercy of the Lord. Reread 17 and 18 aloud. In your own words, who receives all the benefits of God's mercy?
Those who fear him.
So it's not just the whole world. And, okay. Anything else you noticed?
Children.
Children's children, yes. So there is in Scripture the idea of generations and blessing and cursing in generations, and you can see some of that just in habits of the home and how habits pour out into your children. And I was just talking with one of our sisters this morning about children who walk away from the church as soon as they're an adult. Why does this happen? She said to me. And I think they talked about it in youth group last week. Was that it? No? Okay. Okay. Their child came home and said something else. But she's like, why does that happen? I said, because things weren't actually going on in the home. Or it's like, you dragged your kids to church, but it wasn't the whole essence of the home and the family, the commitments, the heart. It could have been checking a box. Well, we have to go, or so-and-so will think this or that, or the pastor will think we're bad, or like that's not training the next generation to love the Lord. Or I was talking to her about how we need young people to, that we help them learn to serve so that by the time they're 18 and they leave, they know they're a part of the body of Christ. They know they can't live apart from this house of worship, so to speak, this body of a family. When my daughter, who graduates high school this year, she knows that her last name is Saving Grace Bible Church. She may go to another church and have to change her last name in more ways than one. But she already knows. So there's this generational, what are we actually teaching them? Just because people show up here on Sundays does not mean that they're catching this fire inside their children, lighting this fire in their children to truly love and obey the Lord, his people, his house, etc. So the generations, children's children, starts from generations that fear him and teach that fear of God rightly to their children. And that means that they're coming under the truth and they're living it in those everyday moments of life. Yes.
So, I don't know, a month or so ago, Pastor Mark was talking about failed leadership.
Uh-huh.
So, in many houses, there is failed leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And who's paying the price for that?
Yeah.
Our children.
Yes. So, that is a truism. And then generations are truisms. Mark himself is an example. He had parents who did not walk with the Lord. And yet he and his brother are now both pastors. So their direct generation, like it's a truism, it's not, you know, for sure. Praise God, or else Mark wouldn't be saved. Because his example from his parents was not that. However, he did have the example from his uncles. So there was extended family that God allowed. But you could grow up in the church like me and struggle with apathy, never truly be saved because you've learned how to walk, you know, not walk the walk. You've learned how to talk the talk. So either way, there's always those outliers. It's never a guarantee. And you are not required to make sure your children are saved. Only God alone can do that. But you definitely give your children a push in the right direction by bringing your own self under the truth, by preaching to your own self these lessons and these benefits, and then by also imparting them to the next generation. And let's say you didn't raise your children this way, and then you're saved, and there's all this regret. I didn't know. You know, I was oblivious. I didn't know. But God is in the business of redeeming. So there's that balance that we have to hold, as in the Lord, with so many things like this, but also this. So I am not responsible for my child being saved. Woo! Pressure off. You are to be faithful. You are not to exasperate your children. You are to teach them and nurture them and train them. But God's in charge of whether they're saved or not. You have to hold those two things and walk according to it. So God likes to hold us in that tension. It's good for us. And it should drive us to want to be as faithful as possible for even the sake of our own conscience. Lord, I did what you called me to do, but ultimately I'm not responsible. All right, let's add some more to our chart from page 2 here. Stirring up our hearts to bless the Lord helps. Sometimes the evil in the world actually causes us to bless the Lord. We see the sin around us and we say, wow, Lord, despite the evil, despite my heart, despite the problems in the world, I'm going to bless you. And it helps me to bless you knowing how good you are in comparison. Ongoing personal sin reminds you to bless the Lord. So even though this sounds like a negative, notice it's also over on, so it's a hindrance, it's also on the helps list. It's just a different way of looking at those things. So evil problems in the world is a hindrance and a help. Ongoing personal sin is a hindrance and a help. You could stir up your heart to bless the Lord like a loving father, mother. All these things we just talked about in the last few minutes, that relationship of giving life and blessing. Remembering that he knows my frame. That's a big help. I'm just the pot. I'm just the worm. I'm just the dust. I'm just the grass. But God. He knows my frailties. But also, our hindrances to blessing the Lord is that human frailty. We are weak and foolish with a worm's eye view. There is a lot to talk about in this. But I encourage you to listen to Darren Roberts' sermon on Psalm 103. Six lessons to preach to yourself. I'll give you a little thing. The first thing I laughed out loud about, and I actually texted Darren, and I was like, you preached this so many years ago, but I literally laughed out loud in my car listening to you today, is he said, he's like, without the consent of the elders here at Saving Grace, I'm going to ordain all of you today, including the women, to be preachers. And I was like, he goes, to yourselves. I was like, yes, we are ordained, ladies, to preach God's truth to ourselves. What a glorious psalm Psalm 103 is. Remember, there are no requests in this psalm. It is all focused on it's focused on praising God. And the last verses are the choir, the universal praise towards God. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So this whole psalm was full of reminders of his benefits. But we are going to skip ahead because I want to read Psalm 104 and then I want you to take time with your groups. And it's already 5 after and I committed myself not to actually go till 8:30 every week. And so I want to honor that and give you guys time to talk amongst each other. Sue, do you know where the index cards are? I forgot I wanted to get them out tonight.
They should be in that box.
Oh, yeah. Bev, can you get one of those to everyone? I forgot I wanted that. If you could do that while I read Psalm 104. And then I'm going to tell you what the group question is. So go ahead and skip ahead to page 116. And I'm going to read Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. The Lord is so kind to use imagery we can imagine, isn't he? It's so kind. Verse 3, he lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. You who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the voice of your thunder, they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys, to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them, the birds of the heaven have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he planted, where the birds make their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats. The cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. You make darkness, and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions, this great and wide sea in which are innumerable teeming things, living things, both small and great, where the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan which you have made to play there. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season, and what you give them they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created. You renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. We see in this psalm, in the first 9 verses, the greatness of our God is highlighted. And these psalms really do flow together. So neat how they do. And so we see the greatness of our God, and you notice that God is not hands off. He didn't create the world and go somewhere else. He didn't create the world and just see how it went. He's very hands on, so to speak, making all of those things work together at all times. And then we see the generosity of our God in the middle and the wisdom of our God in this psalm. It's exciting to think of even how his heaven will be, reading how he has so perfectly created the earth. So, what's going on there? All right, so in your group, I want to do something totally different. I want you guys to work together to kind of write a prayer, like a little psalm or a prayer. What's that?
Remember?
Did I just misspell it?
Oops.
Yeah. So I want you to create a written group prayer compiling each person's favorite benefit of God that they don't want to forget. So which of the things we have talked about tonight just really lit a fire in your heart, or what you studied this week? Each one of you are going to share with the others what your personal favorite benefit was, and then you're going to compile them, each of you on your card. It's very personal within your group. If the back group wants to split up into two, feel free to do that. It might go a little faster. But just compile on a card like a prayer of each person's benefit, and then you'll have a copy of your whole group's, that you can think about and pray about and rejoice and praise God with this week. So a little creative group time tonight, and you have about 12 minutes to work on that. Well, do as many as you want in 12 minutes. We can't even fathom how bad that is and how amazing it is. Satisfies you. There's more of you out there.
He rules.
With perfection.
Mm-hmm. He gives us good gifts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Forget not these benefits, ladies. Mm-hmm. May they stick in your mind and saturate your thinking as you go about this next week and beyond. And may we never be guilty of forgetting his benefits, as we have been so aptly reminded. And also, you know, just thinking about the sermon on Psalm 103 that's really impacted many of us in this room, in how important it is that we preach to ourselves. We know the importance of preaching in general and the truth that we need to be taught by it. It's also important that we are preaching truth to ourselves in times when we are lacking faith, being apathetic, the other points that we had up there. So let's close in prayer and bless the Lord, our souls, before we go. Gracious Father, we truly, in our human minds, cannot fathom how incredibly great you are, nor what we truly deserve. Our minds cannot comprehend what you alone know and understand in your infinite wisdom. But Lord, you have compassion on us, and you have given us your word, which is perfect for all that we need for life and godliness. And you have given us Psalm 103 and Psalm 104 to draw our hearts to praise, to preach to ourselves that we are to bless your name for the things that you give us, even to satisfy our tongues, to full and complete forgiveness of sins that we may live eternally with you. Lord, from the tiny things that you've done to the enormous things we cannot fathom, may we truly remember all of these benefits. And may we praise your name, and may we confront our souls when they are dragging or rebellious. May we walk in obedience and be doers of the word and not just hearers. May we honor you with the way we love you and the way we love others. And may we truly pour out life and goodness to our families, our friends, our church family, those we come in contact with, knowing what you have given to us that we do not deserve. So may we be givers of life and bring praise before your throne. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.